As we continue on the program right now, Pat Steinberg along with you. Let's welcome in Mark Spector from Sportsnet.ca. The title of the article this morning on Sportsnet.ca was, Oilers' sense of entitlement remains after drubbing by Sabres. That's your latest, Spec. Just give us your impressions of last night in a 5-0 loss to Buffalo.
Well, they got outworked and out-hustled and out-tried and out-everything, man. It was not pretty. They'd won 3 games in a row and basically threw their sticks and gloves over the boards and thought, wow, Buffalo, we can take a night off here. And Buffalo played really well. You know, Bob, you saw them in Calgary. I watched that whole game. I thought it was, I don't know, I didn't think that Calgary played that well, frankly. But certainly last night, Buffalo played excellent. And Edmonton would have had to have their best effort to win that game. And they put out their worst effort, and it was a gong show.
When you use the word entitlement like that, like, what are you referring to when you talk about entitlement in this context?
Well, listen, I used the word only because Milan Lucic gave us the quote, and it wasn't lost on him either. He I've been in this business a long time, and he basically intimated to us that he sees entitlement in his team. That's how I read the tea leaves. He said, when you go up against a team like that, that you should take, you know, you think you should beat, and in fact, we lost, we didn't get a point from those guys all year. A team like that, quote unquote, is not Milan Lucic saying, I think that team's lousy. Listen, they're not a good team. Buffalo's the last place team in the East. I think they were in 30th place going to the game last night. Mm-hmm. But I think, to me, what Milan Lucic is saying, our whole team looked at them like, quote unquote, a team like that. He was not impressed with the fact that his club that's having an awful season could overlook anybody and could look at any club and think, this will be an easy night. So I don't look at Lucic as overlooking he didn't play very well. I don't look at Lucic as overlooking the Sabres as much as I look at him pointing out that his whole team did, and he was very disappointed, as everyone would be here.
So is that kind of just another example of maybe what has been a big problem for this team all year long, and that is kind of dealing with the expectations and, you know, being that team that was looked at to be one of the better teams in the Western Conference? Is that something that we've seen through the first half plus of this year?
Well, it's a good question. You know, if I had, unlike the coach, if I had answers, I'd have printed them. I think, though, the word expectations is misplaced. I don't think what all of us and all the fans and the media, I mean, there wasn't a media person in the entire North America who didn't at least pick the Oilers to make the playoffs, including myself. So we were all wrong. We were all wrong on Las Vegas, too, for that matter, and on Ottawa, most of us. But anyway, it's not as much what other people thought. It's what they thought. It's the Oilers. You know, they attained a level of hockey last year where they were very consistent. They were big. They pushed you around. You don't have to tell Calgary fans. Edmonton beat Calgary for fun most of last year. And they didn't do it by fluke. You know, they played good, honest, solid hockey and won their games, and they earned their games. They earned 103 points. And it wasn't a fluke, you know, at that time. So they showed up again this year and kind of figured they'd just get back in the bike and start pedaling again. And for many different reasons, you know, for the same, I mean, that's the macro argument, is how a whole team can somehow not be able to find it. The micro argument is a player like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a guy. How about Michael Ferland, you know, who's great, mm-hmm. great, great, and then it goes away. And it goes away, and he doesn't know why. And then it comes back, and no one really knows the reason why it goes away. Well, the Oilers' whole team it's gone away for, and they can't get it back, and they haven't been able to get it back all year.
Have there been, like, I know that they're way out of the playoffs and they have not met expectations, and it has been a season of a lot of lows for the Oilers this year. Have there been any positives? Have there been anything that have jumped off the page to you and say, okay, well, there's an improvement there or there's an improvement there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Darnell Nurse has taken a huge step forward. You know, let's say there's 23 guys on the roster. There's probably 18 that are playing worse this year than last year, okay? That's why. You can blame the GM, and he's got blame, and you can blame the coaches, they've got blame. I look at the players, and I look at 18 guys who are playing worse than they were playing, so that's the negative. Darnell Nurse mm-hmm. has taken a huge step, huge positive. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, before he broke a couple of ribs, was having a hell of a season. Real good year for him. Jesse Puljujärvi has emerged, a big 6-foot-4 winger that looks like he's going to be a fabulous player. I really like this young player. That's a positive. Now I'm starting to run out, right? But there's three guys that have been good. But why are you a bad team, right? You're a bad team because only three guys took steps forward and 20 took steps backwards.
Yeah. With Mark Spector from Sportsnet.ca joining us here on the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you as well as we continue on this Wednesday afternoon. So what is the temperature right now when it comes to general manager and president of hockey operations, Peter Chiarelli? What are you hearing from Oilers fans, and just what's your overall vibe on how his popularity is right now?
Oh, a ton of heat from fans, for sure. Ton of heat from fans, and deservedly so. You know, he made the Eberle for Strome deal, which really was a contract dump. They didn't think they were getting back as good a player. But in fact, Ryan Strome is completely underachieved, and he has not been a good player here at all. So had he, you know, Eberle's a 25-goal guy. Strome was supposed to be 16 or 17 goals. If he got there, you could justify it. He's not getting there. So that's a problem. He traded Reinhardt last year for a couple draft picks, so one of those draft picks turned into Matt Barzell in the island. Don't think people here have forgotten that. Pete Chiarelli signed Milan Lucic, a big player, big left winger. He's got Pat Maroon, a big left winger. Part of the reason they had success last year, and I think a lot of the reason why they beat Calgary recently, is because they're big and strong and tough, but the rest of the league's going small and fast, and it's exploiting the Oilers right now. So people are saying, Chiarelli, you built a team for yesterday, but you got to play today and tomorrow. So yeah, Chiarelli's under a ton of heat, and will he get a chance this summer to fix some issues here? I suspect he will, but you know what? The way things are going here, man, all bets are off right now.
What? Which begs the question then, you know, trade deadline not that far away. We're like just over a month away from getting to that point. Assuming that he will be the guy pulling the strings come the trade deadline, which I think is a safe assumption, what type of approach does he take, and what type of options are available to him?
Well, you know, when you're a seller at the deadline, there's obvious steps. I'll say it again, because they've got Lucic on left wing in their top six, and they're not going to move him. I think he's got 5 years left in his contract or something. You're probably not going to have Maroon back next year, so I think you trade Maroon at the deadline. He's a UFA. Mark Letestu is a plucky fourth-line face-off winning centerman who might help a playoff team. You move him likely at the deadline, not for, you know, you're getting a draft pick here. There has been players picked up in the past. You can find a guy at the deadline that might help your team next year. But I don't think that, you know, his work needs to get done prior to the draft if he's going to make a bigger trade, and as everyone does, and more so on free agency. They need some speed in the wings up here. They got to get some faster players. They look good down center with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins going forward. Those are good centermen. You can win with those centermen. But you got to surround them with some better wingers than they have up here right now.
The guy that maybe I feel worse for throughout all of this is Todd McClellan, because the head coach, it sure does seem like, and we're down here, Spec, so we don't talk to him, we don't see him on a daily basis, we're not interacting with the team on a daily basis like you are, but it sure does seem like he's kind of at wit's end and exasperated. It's, geez, I don't know what to do at this point to get this group to be the consistent team they were a year ago. Where are you on Todd McClellan and kind of the way the head coach has dealt with all of this?
Well, it's an issue because the coaches have been trying to fix this problem since game two. Calgary fans will remember opening night. I think the score was 3-0. The Oilers won a game in which I think Calgary had about 4 scoring chances. It was a 3-0 game. You know, it was an 8-0 game disguised as a 3-0 game because Mike Smith was fabulous. The Oilers looked so good that night, and I'll tell you what, they haven't been back there since. And since the very next game in Vancouver, in which Cam Talbot was pulled early, Todd McClellan and his staff have been trying to figure this team out and figure out how to fix some particularly special teams problems, and they can't fix them. Like, we're 48 games in, and the penalty kill. Here's one for you. You ever heard this before? The Oilers have the best penalty kill in the league on the road. Best in the league, 86%. Worst in the league at home at 54%. Worst in the league at home at 54%. There's like 32% difference between the two. So
yeah.
My question to Todd today was, do you have an answer to that? And he says, I can't think of an answer to that. And who can?
Yeah, yeah.
How can you be so good on the road and so bad at home? It's the same guys. It's the same formation. You're facing the same power plays. How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean that's a big as big an anomaly as I think that you're ever going to see. It's just he's a guy that, you know, people in this part of the country respect in such a big way. I just hope that he's not the one who's forced to fall on his sword for this whole thing, and yet we've seen it many times, right?
Oh, listen, I couldn't agree more. You know, my analogy here, having covered the Oilers for a long time, like go back. Taylor Hall joined the Oilers in 2010. He played for six coaches in 6 years. That includes a couple of interims, but nonetheless, six in six. So we all know how that worked in Edmonton, not very well. Then they settled into McClellan, and they brought in Chiarelli, and this is the first real fire that's been burning since they got away from the old boys club and brought in a couple guys from the outside and know what they're doing. And, you know, the Cleveland Browns would keep firing coaches, right? That's the Cleveland Browns way, is to fire your coach, fire your coach every time something bad happens. I would hope if I was, you know, I'm not an Oilers fan. I just live here and cover the team. But I'd rather not cover the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't think that's a team you want to emulate. But listen, we've seen coaches get fired all the time when their teams underachieve. And there's one thing you can't deny. This team is underachieving.
Well, and that leads to kind of a final wrap-up question, Spec, and that is, you know, I don't think the scenarios are identical at all because there's differences all over the place. But I just look at what happened with Tampa Bay last year. They had a lot of injuries early on. They kind of fell behind the eight ball. They got hot late, but they couldn't make up all the ground they lost. And a Tampa team ends up missing the playoffs. Well, we knew that team was good. They'd gone to two straight Eastern Conference finals and a Stanley Cup final in there. And what do they do this year? They bounce back. They don't really deviate big time from their plan. And here they are fighting for the President's Trophy this year. I'm not saying that the exact same thing happens next year with the Oilers, but are they a team that, you know, if they just make some smart, measured moves here at the deadline in the offseason, might be a team that is poised to have a big-time bounce back next year?
I absolutely think so. You know, I think of the Calgary Flames after they got through the first round, beat Vancouver. Remember, that's when we coined the term unsustainable. You don't remember this.
Yep.
Were next year. They were unsustainable, and they did not have as good a team next year. And I think we all saw that coming. And the Flames, you know, Brad Treliving made some smart moves and he's built slowly. And now he's got a team that's good and sustainable. And I look at the Flames and I don't know how well they're going to do this year. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to take a run at things. But they're a solid team that I expect to be good for a few years here. Well, the Oilers, I don't think, are very far off that. And, you know, they've had a bunch of guys underachieve from their last year. They've all gone down. But I don't think that every one of those players is as bad as they're playing this year. I don't think that last year's 103-point team was a complete and utter fluke. You know, I think you should be able to have a 94 to 96-point team out of this, and that usually makes the playoffs. So I'm with you. I don't think that I think there's a core of a very good team here. Plus, you got Connor McDavid, which doesn't hurt much. So you don't need to absolutely tear her down here for sure, but you know, I'm not running the show. I'm just covering it, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would encourage everybody to go and read your latest good stuff on Sportsnet.ca this morning. It was a really, really entertaining read. Roger Millions was raving about it, and Wes Gilbertson was raving about it. So good stuff, my friend. Always good to talk to you, Mark. And Godspeed the rest of the season. I know it. I know it might be a grind.
Oh, boy, it's going to be a grind. Should be a good one tomorrow night. I would suggest the Oilers are slightly motivated after the licking they took the other night. And, hey, it's the Battle of Alberta, so it can't be bad.
Thanks, Beck.
All right, thanks for having me.